I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of a huge night across European competition. Wilfried Nancy isn't paying any attention to critics of his tactics board or anything else as he prepares for the visit of Roma. Rangers are in Hungary before taking on Ferencvaros, managed of course by Robbie Keane, and Motherwell's Tawanda Maswanisse hopes to keep shocking himself with good club form when he returns from AFCON. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Ross McCormack and Simon Donnelly. Another busy midweek, just how we like it.
Exactly. No doubt we will reflect still on the weekend, but yeah, there's games to look forward to tomorrow. Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen back in Europe. Yep, looking forward to it.
Yep, big one for Rangers especially, I think. Try and get some points on the board in the in the Europa League. Good win for them at the weekend, but as Sid rightly says, no doubt a lot of the show will be taken up by possibly some form of tactics board or Connect Four or whatever it was.
But this is the thing. This is where the news cycle bites you in the backside, because you think, right, hold on a minute. Even by our standards, Wednesday night, we're not going to talk about a tactics board again, are we? I mean, if Sunday night was a push, Monday, Tuesday, you're kicking the backside out.
I had to laugh. I was away at the
If you're going to talk about a tactics board on Wednesday night, but of course, he does his press conference, so yeah, he's inevitably going to be asked about it, and then the answer becomes the most interesting, or one of the most interesting parts. Let's not focus solely on that, right? Let's make a deal together that can get mentions when relevant.
But was it your first caller on Monday night when I tuned in?
Were you in Paris or just back?
I was
from
back
Paris.
And I decided to tune in to you guys, and the first caller was calling for Wilfried's head. Very unlike this show.
No, I think even by our standards, it's been wacky, to say the least. But on a serious note, Celtic fans, what are you thinking ahead of tomorrow? We knew this week was coming, didn't we? Talk about a baptism of fire for Wilfried Nancy. Top of the table clash first, lost it. Then that's when you dig a bit deeper and look at all the other details, whether it is tactics, boards or anything else, change of formation, all that sort of stuff. Then on to Roma in the Europa League, and that's before you get to the League Cup final at the weekend. So how are you feeling about it now? Has all the criticism outside of the maybe the manager and the way he's done things, is that maybe giving you a bit of a siege mentality? Do you make you really want to get behind this guy? Or are you not convinced yet? How big is this Roma game? I'm sure many people would rather win the cup if you had to choose, but you don't have to choose. That's the beauty of it. And what do you think specifically about tomorrow? What will he keep the same? What will he tweak? Whether that's personnel, whether it's tactical, whatever. How do you think it's all set up for his first European game in charge? And we'll hear from him. But get your calls in, please, on 0141 951 1025. As for you Rangers fans, stay tuned, because we will be live to Hungary. Andrew McLean is there. You know we go everywhere with Glasgow's big two in Europe. Andrew McLean, I think the Rangers press conference delayed slightly, so he'll sit in, he'll tell us everything you need to know. We'll hear from Danny Rule and all the rest of it. How are you feeling about this? Because I feel like I've asked this every week in the Europa League recently, because there really isn't much to play for. I think most people would feel that in terms of tangible progression and that sort of stuff. But I do remember last week, I remember that caller saying, just don't finish, do not want to finish bottom. That's an embarrassment. You still want to get as many points on the board as you can. So how are you feeling ahead of that one? Get your calls in, please, on 0141 951 1025. And anything else that's out there, you know where we are. Loads happening. So please do get in touch and speak to the guys. Ross McCormick and Simon Donnelly here. It does feel kind of different for both camps because of the points total, Simon. I'm hoping it'll come through in the phone lines what the mindset is for the Celtic fans this week. I'm not a big fan of which game would you rather win. I don't think you need to choose. I think it's quite obvious this time. You'd rather win a cup final. But it is interesting now that we're in the middle of this schedule that we knew Wilfried Nancy was going to walk into, and Celtic have still got Europe to play for. So even if you were of a mind, even if people did want to put them in compartments, you can't really neglect or take your eye off the ball in a European game when you've got a chance of progressing.
You can, but I'm glad Hugh's not on the show tonight because he'd be saying otherwise. But no, you can. And listen, just a performance tomorrow. If Celtic gets some sort of result tomorrow, it will be a shot in the arm for the manager as well. You know, after the disappointment at the weekend, his first game. But it would really take Celtic a large stride to maybe even getting out the group stage.
So about more than actually but the 3 points in that league table then, because of what it would do for him.
Yeah, but I think as well, performance going into, you wouldn't want an abject performance going into the final the weekend. It's a really, really difficult week for this guy coming in. Obviously the disappointment against Hearts, I don't think it's a disaster in that the good work that was done before with Martin O'Neill bringing Celtic back close to Hearts. You don't want to obviously get beat at home to Hearts, and they've been beaten twice now. But it's a difficult week in terms of you've got Roma coming to town tomorrow, and it's a huge game on Sunday.
And for Rangers, Ross, it's a continuation, like we said, of previous weeks there. What can Danny Rule still learn things? Can they try and play themselves into real form? Can players then go and benefit from it? You know, even if the league table doesn't end up the way they want it to, he'll still be placing quite an importance on it, won't he?
100%, yes. Listen, it's still early days in his tenure, but he'll be wanting to see things that they work on through the week come to fruition in the games, and there's some massive games coming up for Rangers. I mean, you think away to Hungary, try and get some more points on the board in the Europa League, and then they're back on Saturday for a late kickoff against Hibs, which is another massive game. And as Rangers players, they're the games that you want to play, and they're the games you want to show up. I think a couple of bright sparks for me is you would think Miofsky will come back into a little bit of form, scoring 2 goals. Mikey Moore, for me, I was quite critical of him at the start, but for me, he looks a bit more like a man, as if he's bulked up a little bit since he's been here. So I think they're 2 massive bright sparks for them.
Let's go to the phones then. 0141 951 1025. Scott is in Cambuslang. Take it away, Scott.
How you doing, guys? All right. How you doing, Gordon? How are Ross and Simon?
All right, Scott.
Listen, before I start my point is my nephew stays in Brisbane, Daniel, right, and he absolutely loves the show. And my sister says he drives a car and listens to it, but I don't want to be cash car. But I just want to give him a big shout out and say hello, wee man.
Daniel in Brisbane, you're a good man. A sound of home at the other side of the world. I don't mind providing that service.
It's a ritual for him every single day. You know, he doesn't miss the show. But anyway, my point is, the game for tomorrow, you know, I'm a Celtic fan, I'm on the show often enough. I think the 3 at the back, as if he plays it tomorrow, I think it's going to be a problem. You know, 3 left-footed defenders at the back, you know, you can play obviously the 4, you know, and you have your 3 in the middle, your McGregor, you know, your Hatate and your Engels. I think that's enough for your two wingers, and obviously your ones up front. But I just think playing that style in Europe just now, until the players get used to the 3 at the back, I think it's going to be a problem, to be honest with you. And this thing about the board, this board that he's using, I don't care if it's a Monopoly board, Ouija board, chess board, or whatever boards you want to feel in. At the end of the day, as long as he gets the winning mentality back, and that's fine. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, 2 separate issues there, because there's a serious bit of this. If we're all being honest, the tactics board has got about a hand, right? Yeah. It's grown arms and legs. But there clearly is a debate of a manager's come in, gone to 3 at the back. We all speculated whether he would. He has, and Scott's got his concerns about tomorrow.
Yeah, listen, I'm one that didn't think that he would come in and change it straight away. I said on the radio last week and other platforms that I thought he would come in and tweak things. I looked at the team when the team came in on Sunday, and you know, I was surprised. I thought, okay, he's decided he's going to go with the way that we've seen him reportedly set up across the water. the three left footers, I don't know. I mean, Celtic have been playing with two left centre backs at the moment because Carter Vickers is out.
And a left back. So you'd have three left footers in your back four.
Yeah, so.
But not all in the back three.
It's just moving it around a little bit. Yeah, I don't think the system was the issue at the weekend.
What about that, Scott? Because I'd see the point if, like, Celtic lost the game, but see if that system had been, like, really exposed at the weekend, and, you know, like, gaps everywhere, and Hearts really taking advantage, I'd maybe expect calls like this. But did you see anything in the weekend that makes you think specifically the system was a disaster?
Gordon, I think obviously the point, I think Simon, I don't know if Simon was at the game on Sunday, obviously he was.
No. He was away in Paris. He's a culture man.
I watched the game, Scott.
Right, well, obviously, if you've seen, you know, they were switching Trusty and Scales to the side, and obviously to the middle they were switching. Mm-hmm. I think the second goal was just, I don't think it was a tactic thing. I just think it was bad marking for the second goal, to be honest with you.
I think in fairness, Scott, both goals you can't blame any sort of system. The first goal, it's all very well saying play to the whistle. We're human at times. I mean, even me watching the game, I think Hart stopped as well for a bit, and then Braggers had a swing at it because nobody's blown. It's two mistakes. It's not really the system as such.
No, Ross. It's always, I'm talking about, you know, the system that he's going to play. That's fine if he's wanting to play that. But I'm just saying what's now in Europe, right? Because European football is totally different than domestic football.
Yeah.
You're playing against different players. You're playing, you know, look when we played Feyenoord, that boy, that winger that we played against us when we were on Feyenoord, he was on fire for 20, 25 minutes. You imagine playing three at the back against a player like that. You're not going to get a chance, you know, and it's only because, Ross, that he's in, it was so quick how he changed the formation, right? You know, I'm a great believer in don't fix something that's no broke. And at the end of the day, I do that eventually, like, you know, gradually, but, you know, coming in a day and a half, then changing. I'm no criticising. You're probably right, Ross. The game wasn't lost because of tactics. I totally agree with that. But what I'm saying to you is, do you think it would be too quick to change that format? That's what I'm saying to you. I just think it was too quick, and especially for European football, I don't think just now it suits us to play that way in European football. That's all.
Scott, to pick up what you said, this is Ross now, actually, it was said before, but I do agree with you, it is quick, but this manager's been brought to a club because he plays football in a certain way, in a certain style. So, I mean, when would be the right time for him to change it? Because for talking sake, if he doesn't change it and he beats Hearts at the weekend, right, he doesn't change it, gets a draw in Europe midweek, doesn't change it, wins the cup final, all of a sudden people are going to go, well, he can't go to his formation now. Mm-hmm. There's no point doing it. I think it'll be the same midweek. I do. I still think he'll play that 3-4-3, but I think it'll be slightly more conservative. Yeah. I expect to see fullbacks in the wide positions.
Yeah. As in a Ralston or a Donovan?
I think both of them. Maybe even playing there, and then you have to bring somebody.
Then you bring another centre-back in, which you maybe don't have.
I think both of them could end up playing, to be honest with you, Ralston and Donovan, because... I think going with a three centre. Now, see if you look at it.
Play Tierney on the left.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there as well. For Trusty, when he plays in a back four on the right hand side and he's coming out with the ball, it's not really a different position than when he's playing in a back three. And coming out with the ball, he's still got similar options. He goes wide, he goes inside, whatever. So it's not too different. But I think when you play that, I would like to have my two, you know, left of the three centre-halves who would be able to come in and be slightly more comfortable than a Trusty. And I think watching the way this guy played over at Columbus Crew, sometimes them three end up as, as wingers higher up the pitch. I think it'd be more suited to a Donovan or a Ralston.
It is the life of a manager, isn't it? And the tactical discourse that I think exists now that maybe didn't previously. If you're Wilfried Nancy, you're probably in your darkest moments thinking, see if Dyson Maeda had just scored that chance. If Arnie Ingles had just headed it into the bottom corner. Yeah. If we hadn't switched off from a throw-in, Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which I'm sure he's a big fan of, does not get one single call about the tactics being wrong. Yeah. But I also respect the fact that those things didn't happen and Celtic lost the game. But is it like a blanket no? You know, I don't know if people remember this fact about, you remember the Lee Griffiths game, the 2-2 Scotland and England. Mm-hmm. Scotland had three left-footed centre backs in the back three that day. I think it was Charlie McGrew, Christophe Berra, and Kieran Tierney.
Right,
played in the back three. Andy Robertson. Weirdly, that team was littered with left-footed players. It was like is it a complete no-no for you, or
I don't think it's a complete no-no, but I just think sometimes maybe Trusty on that right-hand side might feel a wee bit uncomfortable with himself coming out, because naturally you're going to work onto your...
Well, Hart's clearly left him on it a bit,
didn't
he?
His weaker foot, yeah.
Let's actually hear from Wilfried Nancy specifically on the system, because I think this is good. I was there today at the press conference. I like this explanation, because he feels that people are actually making too much of the back three. He says it wasn't always a back three. Let's hear it.
Don't forget that we have a good base already. So my job is not to change everything. My job is to add certain things, certain nuances, offensively and defensively. So this is not about the system. This is about the concept. This is about how do we want to play? How do we can connect better? How we can manipulate the opposition to attack the box better? How we can disrupt the lines? So how we can defend our box? This is the most important. I know I need to win to buy time, but this is haven't changed. It was the same when I was in MLS. It was the same when I was a player. It's the same for you in your job. You have to be good to stay. Doesn't change.
There was like an extended bit of that answer. Sorry, I haven't been there in person, but he spoke, that's what he said. He said that sometimes it was, but he says sometimes we defended in a four. You know, it's not maybe it's a bit more fluid. We just see it in quite binary terms.
Aye, black and white times. Listen, I think at times in a game, as Ross will tell you, the picture changes every second in football. I think going back to that first half hour, I think Celtic get themselves into some good areas. Maeda takes one too early. The next one, he gets it caught in his feet. There's times that Negrin's picking up in good areas, and I think wrong pass choice. Play it down into the side for Yang. More dangerous situations, he opts to go in the middle. So I think it's that wee bit there where players just... And it's been a wee bit of a theme with Celtic this season. I don't think they've been as clinical as previous seasons, and a wee bit careless in the final third and didn't get that lead.
Scott, see at the same time, see this sort of bigger picture and this thing that he's trying to build. Do you think he can come in, put his favoured formation in game one, and then ditch it for game two? That would send out bad messages to the players, would it not?
No, I get that, Gordon, right, but, you know, that would be all right if game two was against Hibs or Motherwell but you know what I mean, though, right? This is European football we're speaking about tomorrow night, Gordon, right? This is a totally different animal. I'm not dissing these tactics, let me make that very clear. I'm not dissing them whatsoever. If that's the way he plays, that's the way he plays, that's cool. And it's just obviously the fans just need to get used to that. I'm just saying, in European football, I think you need to play against the other team's strength, right? You know, and I think if he plays the three at the back, you know, I think we're, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful, you know, you've got two big player defenders obviously for the most of the season, which is Alistair Johnson and Big Carter Vickers, right? So I just don't think that the defenders of Gojus now are, I don't know, capable of doing that right now, right away. You know, I'm not saying they're not capable of doing it at all. I'm just saying just now, and as I say, because obviously European football is a different animal, you're playing against different players, faster players, stronger players. You know what I'm saying, though, Gordon? So it's, I just think, you know, as I say, I'm not dissing them. If he wants to play like that, that's cool. And the Celtic fans just need to deal with it and appreciate it and just learn by it. But I just think it's too quick, too soon.
I just wonder about the alternative. You know, I don't mean to... And I know people point to Feyenoord. Feyenoord was really good to be sat here and we watched it. But, how much are Celtic's chances of winning increased by bringing Colby Donovan into that, or by bringing Anthony Ralston into it and playing the four? You know, are we, how certain are we that it gives Celtic a better chance?
Well, regardless of what personnel, they need a performance of that ilk, the final one, to get something from the game tomorrow. Listen, I take Scott's points on board there. I think he'll look at changing the personnel tomorrow. I don't think he'll change this shape. As I say, when I got the team on Sunday, surprised, pleasantly surprised. I'm not sure, but I was interested to see how it would materialise. I just think this guy is going to... This is going to be his system, Gordon, and he's not going to change it. But I would think maybe on the wing back here is maybe a wee bit more defensively minded. I think he'll change the personnel.
Okay, thank you very much to Scott. Good time to call, get involved, let us know what you think, because I know there'll be a wide range of opinions out there. We'll hear them next.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Ross McCormick are here, about to be joined on the line by James, who's in Ballinock. How are you, James?
Hi, how are you doing, Gordon?
Great here, James. Yeah. Cannot complain.
Scott and Ross.
I think they look all right to me. Simon's been away in Paris all weekend, so he's been living the high life. He's delighted to be back with us. What made you call tonight, James? What are you thinking about your team?
It's concerning Walford, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what all these Celtics are, all these Celtic supporters are about. They're talking about he's not the right man. He's not even had the chance to put his bum on the seat that they're wanting him sacked already.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of him.
So, see, to be fair, how do we, because if you're saying it's too early to be critical of him, is it too early to be a big fan of him as well?
Yeah, no, I know the guy's just in a door, and that's how, and he's got to get time. I know he's got to get plenty of time, but at the end of the day, he's just in a doorman, and something I want him sacked already.
I must admit, I said this the other night, I genuinely, I know someone phoned and said sacking, I think we need to just not be too ridiculous about this. I know this is a madhouse, this show, and it's great fun, but come on, let's be serious for a second. However, we are impatient now, things are quick, so we won't get loads of time, and I think we certainly know that if Sunday goes wrong, you know, the clouds will gather. That doesn't mean that, you know, that the job comes to an end, but I think James is right. It's so early, it's one game, but at the same time, ask James the question, you know, well, we've not seen enough to be a massive fan of him either. So we have to be honest about that. Yeah, you have to almost just let it take its course a little bit.
Yeah, of course you do. And I had a joke about it earlier on the show about the caller calling in, because it was just ridiculous. Guy's got to be given time, of course. But again, the other side of it is the pressure that comes with this job and the 3 games this week. I'll go back to my time with Wim Jansen. He lost his first 2 games. I'm sure there'd have been guys calling for his head as well. Ange Postecoglou in more recent times. So we've just got to have a bit of reality. The guy's just in the door and it's a huge task for him. I just think the negative results, it just makes it a wee bit tougher. But I mean listen to his comments today. I think he's a confident guy. He describes himself as a leader. I don't think he'll be too, I probably won't even look at social media. He'll just be focused on his job.
It's funny you say that, because
refer to social media today.
Oh, no, I was going to say, we always talk to people all often, look at Sir Alex and look how long it took him to get going at Man. And I always think, nah, that's just not relevant anymore, because life's different, society's different, everybody's more impatient, it's not comparable. But you mentioned Ange Postecoglou, it was only three, four years ago.
Yeah.
And it went way beyond one defeat against Hearts. It was funny, I saw someone put the stats up the other night. Did you see it?
No.
It was pretty similar from Ange, and one was at Tynecastle, obviously. Yeah, of course. But in terms of like possession and shots, you know, it was quite similar. But Ross, it's about trying to find that balance. We can't escape the fact that it's a massive week. Celtic brought this on, though, essentially, by the decision to put him in a week where you play the top of the table, you play Europe, then you play a cup final.
Yeah, massive week. And for me, it's probably it's probably the best and the worst time for a manager to come into the club, innit? Because if he wins a cup final, he's got a trophy in the cabinet right away, and he's a hero. If he doesn't, he'll still be afforded. He's got to be afforded time when you think it's a completely different style of play to what most people are used to. From what I've seen, it's chaos football. Players ending up all over the place. So it'll take a while to get used to, but why not enjoy it? Why not enjoy the ride? Someone new coming with a different outlook on football. You see Motherwell this year. Motherwell fans are absolutely loving it.
Correct.
So give this guy a bit of time. You never know, the Celtic fans could be going, this is incredible football, this.
Well, speaking of critics and tactics boards and all the rest of it, you know the drill. He was clearly asked about it today, and this is what he had to say.
My mum told me that I don't know how to say that in English, but I have a bit of bags. I said, mummy, I just came in, jet lag, try to anticipate everything. But again, this is part of our job. I'm really excited by that. So I try to stay at peace with myself, at peace with the person that I am. Oh, people, they have the right to talk, you know, so I'm going to dress one way, maybe he's going to say that they don't like the way I dress, so I don't waste time on that, you know. See, if I use it, it's because it's good for me, simple as that, and I don't think that I'm going to use it all the time, but no problem.
The first bit, in case you couldn't make it, was his mum's telling him he's already got bags under his eyes. I remember Russell Martin said his mum was worried about him at the start as well. I don't know why they keep doing this stuff.
It's his jobs, Gordon. It's his jobs.
In isolation, there's nothing wrong with it. But as soon as he said it, right, and this is what we're talking about, the way it works here, as soon as he said it about the mum, I thought, somebody's going to mention that Russell Martin spoke about his mum. You know, these are the things that keep us going in this city.
Yeah, these are the things that probably keep these shows going and the callers calling in. I think he seems comfortable in his own skin there. He's here to do a job, and you know, the Celtic fans need to get behind that and show a little bit of patience. Any sort of negativity or result like the weekend is going to bring, you know, scrutiny, and you know, he had the tactics board out. Listen, at the time, I knew all the memes were coming. That's just the nature of it. I don't think it will affect him.
His answer again, also at the press conference today, was just very, you know, I think he said, Ross, that, you know, he might use it again, he might not. It's just not, it's not that big a thing for him. It's not like he's saying, oh yeah, that's what I do and I'm going to use it every week. But similarly, it's not like he's saying, oh okay, the reaction's been so bad I'll never use it. He was just sort of finding that middle ground, and just saying that at the moment he just thought it was the best thing to do. He might not use it again, he might, but my goodness, the level of...
I hope he does, I hope he sticks with it. He might not be 100% confident in his English as well, and he might have been thinking, right, rather than try and explain things to Callum McGregor or someone, it might be easier just to show him, and he thinks that might have been the easiest way to show him. But listen, why not? Because if Celtic go on a winning run, then you know for a fact that they're going to be getting sold in a Celtic club shop.
Just in time for Christmas.
Sid will get one for Christmas, won't he?
John's in Ridgery. Hi, John.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay.
What are you thinking?
My question for you guys was, do we know if Martin O'Neill was offered the job until the end of the season?
Well, I would have to say no to that.
Why did they not give him at least until the end of the season? Because, okay, we won the firing in all cylinders, we won the, like, putting teams away easily or anything like that, but we were grinding at results. But he brought back a winning formula, obviously, because Rodgers wasn't he? And I was just curious as to why they would take such a huge gamble at such a crucial part of the season. Because even if they'd kept him to the end of January, if he'd have brought in anybody, all he was going to bring in was boys that were going to improve the team. He wasn't going to bring in anybody who was going to have a negative effect. So I was just curious as to why they would make such a huge decision at such a crucial part of the season.
To answer the first point, I mean, Martin O'Neill wasn't offered it to the end of the season. We knew this was coming.
Yeah. I think it just... Listen, I don't know. Am I right in saying maybe a week or so before we thought Wilfried Nancy was coming in, and then it kind of got delayed again a little bit, and I know certainly Easter Road was going to be the last game for Martin, and that kind of dragged into the next game at Celtic Park against Dundee. I don't think it was planned from day one that these are going to be your first three games, but the more it went on, that was what it was going to happen. Listen, I've spoken to Celtic fans that were saying, could Martin O'Neill not have been there and helped this guy with the transition? But I don't think football's like any other business, and I think this guy's his own man. He's came in with his own staff there, and you know, I think that's just the way it's went. The three games, as Ross says there, if he comes in and wins the three games, you know, there's no problem. It's just because they've been beaten at the weekend, I think. It's the same group of players that Martin O'Neill went on a winning run with, and it's now down to Wilfred Nancy to try and do that.
It's just... Richie, just as an eyewitness, right? Now, John's got the... John will know more than me about Celtic, for sure. You and I think we were in the gantry together on Wednesday night that you were working for Celtic. I was working for Dundee, Sky, watched the Dundee game. So just purely as an eyewitness, I feel like if Celtic had put that level of performance in, the one they put in against Dundee under Martin O'Neill, if they had put that in under Martin O'Neill against Hearts, I think they still might have lost the game.
Yeah, quite possible.
They weren't good that night.
No.
And Hearts are better than Dundee, and they switched off twice within the game. So, look, I respect it because Martin O'Neill's record was good.
It was good.
So I understand why people say that the winning mentality, but John's right, you know, if you're grinding out wins, it doesn't mean you're always gonna grind them out.
It doesn't, Gordon. Listen, you have to take your hat off. It was a fantastic run they went on, but there was no guarantee, as you say, with this. If you put in a performance like the weekend, and I think it just comes down to little things like decision making at times as well in the game. If Maeda takes one of the two chances, it's a different game. He didn't. We're now looking at another defeat. But that was on the back of eight games, so it could have came if Martin O'Neill was in charge. There's no guarantee because this guy's taken over. That's the reason Celtic get beat at the weekend.
So, see, if you're being honest as well, any manager coming in on an interim basis, out with the Feyenoord game, should probably have won the games that Martin won anyway. Now, to pick up on what John said there...
Just quickly on that, because I can argue with Marvin about this. I think you're right individually, but I think, to be fair, putting that run
together,
you couldn't really see Celtic doing that, you know, before Martin O'Neill came in, so I think credit for that.
And I think, just to pick up what John said there, if Martin was in charge, he's only going to bring in players that are going to make the team better. Any manager at all, there's no manager on the planet who brings in a player thinking he's going to weaken the team. They've all got the same goal when you sign a player, is to make the team better, but there's no guarantees. And then if Martin stayed to the end of the season and left, and Celtic go and sign five new players or whatever, say four doesn't work out, you've got four bits of deadwood sitting there for a new manager coming in.
I mean, you don't need me to tell you, if Martin O'Neill lost the cup final, people say, what on earth are you doing? You've got a new manager, this is the guy you want, and you haven't brought him in.
I'm not saying Celtic, but there was a little bit of stick he got after the game in Denmark, three games in. People, you know, but then he went on that great run, and
it would have made, I think, the Celtic fans just feel more secure going into this week, though, wouldn't it?
I think so.
That's where John's coming from.
Again, I sat down at that game you're talking about. I did the Celtic TV at the Dundee game the other day, and I also thought as well, you're looking at a third manager, and we're just into December for these players.
Yeah, Austin Trusty spoke about that today.
It's a lot of change, and then you have to get on board with the next group. Having said that, I still think Celtic have enough to have went and beat Hearts at the weekend. They didn't. They have to dust themselves down. They've got two massive games this week.
Okay, thank you very much to John. We're going to go to Hungary live very soon as well, get you the latest from the Rangers camp ahead of the game against Ferencvaros. So Rangers fans, why not wade in and get your opinions across on that? It's a good time to do so, actually. Do that right now whilst I tell you about this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
It is one of the highlights of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard calendar this week. It is the Cash for Kids Sports Auction. Now, I use the word highlight cautiously because it's something that we wish we didn't have to do. Quite obviously, we're in a situation at Cash for Kids where we've already had over 16,000 applications for over 16,000 disadvantaged children, so much so that we've had to pause applications for support because there's not enough money there to match all that support. So we wish we didn't have to do it, but then once it comes around, the generosity that goes into the Cash for Kids sports auction, genuinely think I've done this 8 or 9 years and it blows me away every single year, the generosity of the people who give us the prizes to auction off, and then to those of you who try and bid and get involved as well. It's unbelievable. And that is coming up this weekend. Usual hospitality tickets, Rangers, Celtic, Kilmarnock, Ayr United, loads. A signed and framed Andy Murray racket. That's a serious piece of sports memorabilia. The chance to train with Partick Thistle under Mark Wilson and Alex Ray. Talk about money can't buy, though, seriously. Yeah. Honestly, some brilliant stuff. Loads more on the day as well. You can donate now at Clyde1.com/mission, but make sure you listen on Saturday. Every single penny raised goes right back to the kids, the children that need your help the most. So it's a really worthy cause. It's a big thanks to J&D Pierce, as always, for supporting Cash for Kids. And the sports auction is this Saturday.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Ross McCormick are here. Rangers have been a little bit delayed doing the press conference over in Hungary, so we'll get to that as soon as we can. We'll cross there live. Andrew McLean will bring us up to speed. You can hear from Danny Rule, and then certainly want your opinions, Rangers fans, on tomorrow. Just kind of general thoughts on the game when you're at this stage of the competition, sitting where you are in that league table. What does it mean to you? What do you think can be achieved? What do you want to see? All the rest of it. Get your thoughts lined up for us. We will speak to Vincent, who's on the line first, though. Hi, Vincent.
Good evening, lads. How are you doing?
All good here. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that Wilfred Nancy's got bigger problems than three at the back. I think Wilfred Nancy needs somebody that's going to put the ball in the net. As you alluded to earlier, Gordon, if Harley Ingalls could header a ball and Dyson's mind was on the game, I think Celtic would have been two up.
Listen, it's a fair point, yeah, clearly, in the sense that, because look, see, when a manager comes in, it narrows the focus. It's the biggest deal, it's the biggest story, everything becomes about that.
Yeah.
But we've spent the last 5 months talking about how this Celtic squad is severely lacking in various areas.
Yeah.
Certainly compared to what it normally is. So Wilfried Nancy's inherited that and has to deal with it at the same time as, you know, is getting his points across.
Yeah. And I think you can probably take that right back to Kyogo with Celtic. I know Adam Eder was there for a spell, and then Johnny Kenny found himself leading the line.
Are the wingers anywhere near the strength of what's been what it before? Used to be?
No. So that has been, you know, an area in Celtic's team that, as I said earlier on, I described it, they've not been as ruthless and clinical this season. You only have to look at the amount of goals that were scored in previous or last season, and the season before. So that's something that, yeah, I think come January that will need to be addressed. To Martin's credit, he came in, he played the young lad Osmond at times. He injured Johnny Kenny, popped up an important goal in the semi-final against Rangers, got a couple in Martin's first game. So yeah, he's not came into a team, any actual, arguably for me, is the best striker there, but he's not been fit. Showed little signs when he was fit. So he's not had him either. Now, Maeda's played there, and, you know, Maeda's pace will put fear into any defender, but he had a purple patch last season. He's finishing, but the other night, again, you know, he's not as clinical as a Kyogo in that situation, I don't feel. And that's something that the manager will need to address when it comes to the January window.
I think Maeda is going to become a little bit of a headache for the new manager, because if he doesn't play as that out-and-out number nine, I'm looking at the other positions that he likes to play in this team. I don't know where else he fits in. Could you play him at left wing-back, possibly? I'm not sure, but I don't think he could play in that. I don't think he's technically good enough to play in that sort of inside number 10 position. So if he's not the number nine, where's he going to play?
See, if you are having, though, if this system at the moment is square pegs and round holes, and you are having to play a winger who's going to have to be comfortable running back the way, can he not do that? It's one of the four.
So, like, the sort of left wing back position? I think so, yes. I think he'd probably, for me, I don't know if he'd be better playing there.
I'm not saying he's got amazing defensive instincts, but you know you'll get the work rate.
Yeah, definitely get the work rate.
I think in the Premiership, I think he could do it, because Celtic will probably dominate the ball in most games. But then you're thinking Old Firm games against Hearts now, who are genuine contenders, European games, if they go further in this competition, he's probably not suited to playing there. But I just think moving forward, I think it could become a little bit of a headache.
The counter argument Vincent, everything's coming down to this time. Though people, you're talking about the deficiencies in the squad. There's clearly a feeling amongst some of your fellow Celtic fans that, well, Martin O'Neill was showing signs of dealing with those deficiencies.
Yeah, but I think it's quite obvious that Dyson doesn't want to be there. I think he's just waiting in January coming. He's not the same player he was. He doesn't seem to be going about with a smile and that he used to have. And regards Martin O'Neill, I don't think Martin O'Neill wanted to be at Celtic to the end of the season. If he wanted to be at Celtic at the end of the, to the end of the season, he would only need to spoke to one man, and I think he'd have been there.
I just can't shake off Sunday, Simon. Managers will always just tell us about one game at a time and all that sort of stuff. It feel, because I clearly in the last few nights have been more on the side, if there's such a thing, of can we just relax here? Can we make sure all this stuff isn't reflecting really badly on us as a footballing environment? Where you can talk about guys losing their jobs after one game. If it goes wrong on Sunday, I don't know what that conversation will sound like. It feels like tomorrow, as important as it is, as long as it's not a bad one, as they say. I don't know. Celtic lost 1-0 tomorrow, 2-1. Would it matter that much in terms of the kind of public opinion? Because it would very quickly roll on to Sunday, wouldn't it? Mm. But how is there such a thing as an extra big cup final?
Any cup final Celtic are in, they have to go and win it.
But that's what I mean. If you're a manager who's got years of goodwill in the tank or previous trophies, and you lose a cup final, it might be able to be written off as, well, you know, these things happen. Brendan Rodgers at the end of last season, Celtic were going to lose a cup final eventually. But the noise that's already gone on this week just makes it feel even bigger than
it does.
Than normal.
It does, and listen, we spoke about it last week. I prefer to look at the positive side of it, as Roscoe touched on there. It's a chance for a guy who's just in the door to go and win silverware. But yeah, the backlash from not winning will be incredible. Again, it's just the nature of it. And I think the guy will be well aware of that, you know, coming in. But yeah, to go back to the striker point of view, I think Maeda has been phenomenal for Celtic, but they lack a number nine. They lack a centre forward, 100%.
See, just on the cup final, Sid, you'd obviously watch every single Celtic game. See if there's a team in Scotland who are set up to counter-attack against a team like Celtic at St Mirren. You think
I've covered both games.
They're happy to sit and not have the ball.
It took them to the depths of the first game of the season with Luke McCowan. And it took 94 minutes, albeit Celtic didn't play well at St Mirren the other week there for a McGregor wonder strike. So, listen, it's a difficult game. I played against Rafe Rovers back in the day. There's no sure thing.
I was at that game.
Are you new to this show? We don't bring that up if we don't need to. It doesn't need any more fuel. And I've got something even more concerning for you. You know what day of the week it is? It's bath night. He listens in the bath on a Wednesday night. Right, he'll be splashing about with his rubber duck in his hand. Thinking about the Wraith Rovers win.
I know.
Because you just brought it up.
I know.
Have I missed the update on Iheanacho? Because am I right in saying he was on the bench for Feyenoord away, then not on the bench the next two, then back on the bench. I don't know what's his fitness. Could we see him tomorrow from the start, or is that too much of a stretch if he's not at any minutes?
I would think maybe too much of a stretch.
I think the way the game could be set up tomorrow as well, it could probably suit a Dyson Maeda playing
tomorrow against Roma.
Yeah.
Because I think that was another thing on the Feyenoord one, because he went with Maeda, Yang, and it was McCowan. And I actually, it might have surprised a few folk, but I quite liked it, because obviously the pace there with Yang and Maeda, I think, as I said earlier on the show, it puts fear. I mean, Rodgers put me head up against Bayern Munich last year, and they pressed and got the goal with Kuhn. I think that was a wee bit of an inspirational front three with Martin O'Neill two weeks ago, but they need another performance like that tomorrow.
Thank you very much to Vincent. We're going to get the Rangers picture from over in Hungary very soon, so get your calls in, Rangers fans. But before we do any of that, let's play this.
Beat
the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a signed ball or the new Beat the Pundit coin. And in the process, you get to embarrass Simon Donnelly or Ross McCormick. What more could you ask for a Wednesday evening? The lines close at 7, so be quick.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Simon Donnelly are here. Danny Rule is in the room. He's in the chair. He's speaking. Not this room. You looked at me there, didn't you? As if I was going to produce him from under the table. He's in the press conference room over in Hungary. So Andrew McLean will bring us right up to speed on that. Rangers fans, what are you thinking about tomorrow? Get your calls in whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Looking forward to this. How's the form, you two? Let me check. Have I got anything? Any recent performances? No?
I can't remember.
By the way,
I'm just getting under the radar.
I've got a bone to pick with you from before the news, before the break. What did I tell you would happen? What was the last thing we discussed?
They contacted you
within minutes of you mentioning the Raith Rovers win, and I told you Wednesday is his bath night. He sent me a picture for the bath.
No way!
Straight away, I promise. Straight away, Gordon DL. There he is. Well, not there he is. He's got candles. He's got the red wine. What he doesn't realise,
right? Red wine and candles.
Do you know what he doesn't realise? See if he's zoom in on the wine glass.
Reflection on the tap.
You can see the reflection. In the wine.
He's in there alone.
Look at the state of that thing. I was talking about his candles, by the way. Yes, if you zoom in, you can see. Can you see that wee reflection in the wine glass?
No, because it's the same colour as his face. The wine.
That's true. But anyway, Gordon DL in the bath. Things you never knew you had to worry about on a Wednesday evening. We're going to play Beat the Pundit. The stakes are high, remember, because not only are our friends at Cairnhill Structures putting up £10 to Cash for Kids every time the listener gets a question right, someone then got in touch and said that they wanted to do the same thing for all the questions that the pundits got right.
All right.
So there's a bit of money getting in here. Scott's in Kilmarnock. How are you, Scott?
I'm not too bad. How are you doing, lad?
Not bad, Scott. Hey, not Scott. Bad. Is this a debut? Is this a return performance? What's the script?
No, it's a big debut.
Good. How do you usually do?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Seems like a fair level of performance. The pressure, obviously. Last night the guy said he usually did okay. I think he got a one last night when he came on.
Level of pressure.
They've been tough though this week. I don't know if the producers are getting a bit.
They were murdered last night.
They were. I don't know if the producers are a bit, like, I don't know, stressed because it's like Christmas or something. But I don't know, I feel like they're taking it out in the questions. They actually are tough tonight as well. I've just had a glance down.
It's not what I want to hear, is
my
it?
No,
me neither.
My goodness. Right, let's toss the coin. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Ross McCormick. And if it's the red side, it will be Simon Donnelly. Oh, nearly Oof. Dropped it. And it's blue for Ross. Happy with that? Not really?
Not
tough,
really.
Tough, you need to play anyway. Right, so let's give Ross something else to listen to. Scott, you and I now, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
No worries.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. In what decade did Enrico Annone join Celtic from Roma?
80s.
Who managed Rangers more times, Mark Warburton or Philippe Clement?
Warburton.
Name any team in the KDM Trophy whose game was postponed last night.
Patrick Tassel.
How many points do Aberdeen have in the Europa Conference League?
2.
Who's the only team Livy have beaten in the league this season?
Come on.
Which current St Mirren player has 21 caps for Australia?
Gogic.
They are, I'm telling you, they are tough tonight. Sorry to tell you, Ross McCormick. They are tough.
Are they?
Really tough. Let's go through them. You ready? Same set of questions.
Sure.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. In what decade did Enrico Annone join Celtic from Roma?
2000.
Who managed Rangers more times, Mark Warburton or Philippe Clement?
Matt Warburton.
Name any team in the KDM Trophy whose game was postponed last night.
Partick Thistle.
How many points do Aberdeen have in the Europa Conference League?
2.
Who are the only team Livy have beaten in the league this season?
Pass.
Which current St Mirren player has 21 caps for Australia?
Bacchus.
How many all Premiership ties are in the next round of the Scottish Cup?
4.
Jeez, tough tonight. Tough. What do you think, Scott?
I think it's close.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
Let's go through them. I'm disappointed in you both. We're only asking for a decade. One of you was too late, one of you was too early. It was the 90s for Enrico Annone, 1997. Would you have been there when he joined?
Another season ticket as well.
Guaranteed a point.
And and of course, is that even true? Or is it one of those Scottish football urban myths about Annone on and on?
Don't get me to repeat it.
Do you know what it was? He was the best man marker I've ever seen. He just used to follow Loudrup around, didn't he?
It was very... I follow him on Instagram. He played in that Serie A where there was some proper players. You had to be a really good defender.
Joined from Roma. Right, 90s, none of you got it. You both went Mark Warburton. Philippe Clement was four more games than Mark Warburton. Did you believe? Yeah, I suppose European runs and stuff maybe kind of adds that into it. So 0-0 after two questions and £0 to cash for kids so far. Right, how many points do Aberdeen have in the Conference League? You both said two and you were both correct. That was a good guess, well done. Chuck some money in and we're level on the points as well. What's interesting about this, name any team in the KDM Trophy whose game was postponed last night. You had 12 answers to choose from and you both went Partick Thistle, so you were both correct. Don't make me read out the rest. There was just loads, okay? The weather played chaos. It was interesting though because loads of games were still on. So I don't know how that worked with all the weather warnings that were everywhere. I managed to just find little pockets where the games could go ahead.
Do you know how I got that answer? Alec Ray.
Was it Monday night he was on?
The weekend, and I think Sunday. He forgot that he was playing on Tuesday night
in the KDM Trophy. Yeah. Gordon Dale was delighted last night when I broke the news that Mark Wilson had travelled all the way to Cove for the game to be off just before
that. That's how I got it.
Exactly. Sympathy for the fans, but not for the management team. Right, so we're level, are we? On
Two each,
yeah, because we're Aberdeen one as well. The St Mirren player who's got 21 caps for Australia is Keanu Backus. Well done. Alex Gogic, unfortunately for you, Scott, is Cypriot and not Australian. It's a 3-2 to Ross McCormick. And you had the chance to round it off, but you couldn't take it. There are three all-premiership ties in the cup. I think that's a very difficult question. Scott, you have been beaten 3-2, but you've stuck £20 into cash for kids. Ross has put 30 in. So that's a fair contribution, is it not? A good job, well done.
Too bad. That's
good man. Who's your team, Scott?
Rangers.
What are you thinking tomorrow? What does Europe mean to you at the moment, I suppose, is what we're asking.
From my point of view, I would say Europe's done. I would get a couple of young boys out, give them a run out in Europe, see how they get on with the pressure, but just waiting for January for the transfer window. Hopefully get rid of some deadwood.
I mean, I know it seems done, like arithmetically. Are you done with it in your head, if that makes sense? Like, I know you'll still want them to win tomorrow. Well,
I just don't think this team right now is good enough to actually get the points we need.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if many people would argue with that, Ross. The league table kind of tells its own story, and it's still technically possible, is it? It seems a long way off.
Hopefully just get some signings in, and then hopefully just keep ticking away. Pick up points where we can, and hopefully the other two keep dropping points.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the head coach, you still use it those as another game, as another chance to work on whatever you've been doing and fine tune things, and it's a different tactical battle, and you know kind of play yourself back into a good place regardless of what competition it is, or is it done for Danny Rule as well?
No,
it
can't be done. Not in Glasgow. You got to go and try and win every game. And see, to be honest, see all this give up in Europe and stuff. See in my head the amount of money that Rangers have spent, the salaries, everything. You're trying to tell me that Rangers can't be confident they can go to Hungary and get a result? Of course they can. They've got to believe it. And like I say, if he does put out a strong team and they do get a result, then that could be a springboard for the rest of the season as well. So there's no way that Rangers should be writing off Europe at this stage. While it's mathematically possible, they've got to go for it.
I think the manager wants to build on Dundee United the other night. Okay, they slipped up with the points wise, but I think he was more happier than the performance against Falkirk previously. More chances created, and then he go and get a good result at Rugby Park at the weekend, so he'll want to build on that. Does that mean you're going to Hungary and winning? I'm not so sure, but try and get a performance that builds on to go to the Hibs game at the weekend.
Even for him, I suppose, Scott, trying to get his first European win. You want to chalk off these little achievements, don't you?
Oh, I definitely. He's done well since he's come in. I like the way he's wanting him to play. It's just getting players that can play that way.
Because he's had two home European games, Ross, in between. Finally, appointment on the board against Braga. Before that, they get beaten off Roma. That wasn't a good performance, but again, Roma are quite good. I don't think that's like a complete disaster, if you know what I mean, from a Rangers perspective. But this is now the first away game since Bran. Now, that was terrible, but he was just in the door. So maybe, I know it's a different opponent, but maybe quite interesting to see how the team has progressed in that time, to see how suited they are to going away in Europe compared to what they were that night.
Yeah, and I think there's no doubt they have progressed in terms of being harder to beat, more difficult to play against. So expect a stronger performance. As I said there, in my head, Rangers should be believing that they can go to Hungary and get a result 100%. You look at the games that they've had in Europe so far, I think Braga, they'll be disappointed, obviously, because they were down to 10 men. Roma, as you said, I think Roma are one of them teams, and you look at the Celtic game tomorrow night, I don't expect them to blow Celtic away either. You know, I think the toughest thing was at Ibrox, they got the first goal, and I think when they get the first goal, they can sit in, and they're really hard to break down, notorious Italian defending. But no, listen, I think Rangers go to Hungary with good confidence that they can get at least a point.
Thank you very much to Scott on the line. I don't know if we're quite ready to go to Andrew McLean yet. I think Danny Rule's probably just finishing off the press conference, and then we will do that. So let's bring in Paul in the meantime. What are you thinking tonight, Paul?
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for letting me on the show tonight. Just two points, one for Rangers, one for Celtic. I'll start with the Celtic point and just want to see the guys think. I know a kind of light's been shone on Wilfred Nancy and everything else that went on in the game against Hearts. And I know there was a comparison made against Russell Martin, Martin-esque, with a comment about it's not about winning and losing, it's about performance and all that stuff. But you recall there was another guy that came to Scottish football, had a great time at Lyon, probably inherited the team of Lyon and whatnot, which was Paul Le Guin. And I don't know if I should say Paul Le Guin with this appointment for Celtic, which would worry me, because he came with a reputation, mixed things up. You don't have to look at people like Barry Ferguson, still maybe comments on him and stuff like that. But came in with a kind of arrogance as well, as I'll do it my way type of thing. And he didn't last too long. I know it's quite early to say, but look how long Russell Martin lasted, and you've talked on your show before how long managers are last. It's getting less and less.
What is this? What is the comparisons, Paul? So what? A Frenchman came here 20 years ago.
Aye.
And now another Frenchman's come. Well, 22 decades on. What's like the relevance?
He let me go, that's what he done.
Aye.
he's come in and changed the formation 3-4-3. Why would you do that when you had a settled team winning games and come in and change it? Yeah, you can call it brave and whatever, but is there not a wee bit of arrogance to that? What do you think, Matt?
I just think it's the right, it's his idea of winning games.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's just the way he likes to set his team up.
Because there's no secrets, right? See, if it doesn't work in time, he will not be the Celtic manager for long.
That's exactly.
So it's not like, I'm sure he knows that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think
you don't get fans on side though, Gordon. I mean, Rangers did it. Russell Martin came in and went, "I'm doing it my way," and he didn't last too long.
But again, right? See for all his faults, Russell Martin wasn't doing this stuff for a laugh. He was doing it because he tried to win games. He then didn't win the games. And then that's why he's not the manager. Do you know what I mean? There has to be a kind of bigger picture thing to all this.
It's one game, and we can keep going over it and over it. But you look at the goals at the weekend, it was nothing to do with a system that was put in place.
Obviously. See, in time, once he gets the same amount of games as Russell Martin or whatever, Ross, we can have that.
Yeah.
Right now, right as we sit here tonight, Wilfried Nancy has lost one game narrowly against the other best team in the league. That is it. That's it. Nothing more.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's no coincidence. You listen to, you know, whatever manager across the world, they all say it. Systems do not win or lose football matches. Things that happen within the games do, whether it be mistakes, whether it be good passages of play. So listen, he's changed to this, thinking that this is what he knows. He thinks this is the best way forward for him to win games as Celtic manager. And rightly so. If he believes it, he should stick to it.
I mean, you're a Rangers fan though, Paul, right? Yeah?
Aye, yeah.
I mean, you'll be hoping it's a Paul Le Guin, that's fine.
Aye, 100%. Well, are you a bad manager? Are you a bad manager? We've had our fair share of them. Leading on to Rangers' point, I don't know what you think of this, but there's two key away games, I think, that's kind of an acid test for Danny Rule. Now, I understand he's been left with the deck of cards he's had, do you know what I mean, until the January transfer window, but the two domestic games, his Hearts away in Celtic away, and I just think maybe if we get a minimum of 4 points out of that, either way, not take 3 points at Celtic Park, to be honest, right, but do you think if we get the 4 points, and we do that, do you think we're maybe in our title shout?
You're another fan like last night who's assuming you win the home games against the likes of Motherwell, dare I say it.
Yeah, assuming that, I think he started quite well. You know, with the team he's got the fans on side. I think that's a big thing, Gordon. I think with Russell Martin, it was never there. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he was ever going to win the fans over, and ultimately he didn't. But I think if we go down maybe 1-0 or we're having it quite tight, he's got the 12th man on side, and I think he's done not too bad with the team he's been left with. And let's be honest here, it's not a great team. It's probably, I would say, the recruitment at Celtic and Rangers has been the worst I've ever seen in my lifetime, to be honest. It's been shocking. And I think Hearts have capitalised on that, and it's their best opportunity.
See, but feel though, like, you need more than that though, Paul, don't you? Because I think you're right. I think the Rangers fans like Danny Rule, but I mean, it was 10 days ago, Drew with Falkirk, you know, that the kind of stuff that we hear about 12th men and all this stuff. That's a completely separate argument. What I'm saying is, though, 10 days ago they drew it home with Falkirk, so the notion of the kind of 12th man dragging you over the line, you know, it didn't work that day. So I just don't know if it gives you, has he got enough of a body of work to make you think that that's kind of guaranteed going forward?
I think the way he's approaching it is better, right? I think, listen, when Martin called out at Motherwell, I was on his side. I thought, aye, good, he's calling players out essentially. But then you seen where it was a car crash. Neil Lennon did it in the year that went for 10 in a row, and it was a car crash against the European team. I can't remember, Slavia Prague or something like that. And ever since that, they never carried on. Whereas Danny Rowe seems to come in and think, do you know what? Despite results like Falkirk, somebody at my door there, the ring bell's going. he's tried to keep people on side, and I think that's the way that's the way he's going to do it. And it reminds me of people like, you remember Walter Smith with Philip Seabold? Philip Seabold was never going to be a Rangers player, but him and Mally McCoy's just had to try and motor him on and try and move him on, and I think that's what he's going to have to do with these players. But we're no, you'd mentioned in your show maybe yesterday, you can't just say to 11 players, right, away you just go, we're terminating all your contracts. You've got to try and get some value out of them. So you're going to get blips in the road with Falkirk and people like that, but to be honest, what would you think his win percentage? I think it's been pretty not bad to keep a team like us the way we are now in a title race.
Oh, listen, he's not hardly lost any games. What, has he only lost, I not lost any domestically? Only lost, is it one in the league? Is it?
Sorry, Rangers have lost one in the league, I meant.
Oh, overall? Yeah. Aye, so he's not lost. But I feel like it's just that balance, Ross. It is better because the bar was low. I just don't know, are they there yet where Paul and the caller last night can overlook a home game against Hibs and overlook a home game against Motherwell and say, that's just, if we can get points in these two away games where, you know, we're in a title race, they're better for sure. Are they there yet where you can almost assume that they beat Motherwell and Hibs at home?
No, I think you've hit the nail on the head there when you talk about the bar being so low. It was only going to get better. I look at Rangers and I don't see where the confidence comes from certain callers. Well, they think that they're going to go to a Parkhead or a Tynecastle and get a win when you couldn't do it at Tynecastle. So the confidence for that to happen is just
at Ibrox.
Yeah.
Paul did say we'd settle for the 4 points. I just think that, you know, nothing's been 10 days ago. I keep saying it. If Falkirk was 10 days ago, but now a Motherwell and Hibs at home won't be a problem.
Yeah.
And as I always say, look, it might be the case. They might beat both of them comfortably, at which point Paul can come on and say, I told you so.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, what's your working here? What's your body of evidence? If you drew at home with Falkirk 10 days ago, what's happened in those 10 days that makes you think Hibs and Motherwell at home are not an issue and it's all about Tynecastle and Celtic Park?
Yeah. Just as I said earlier on, I think after the Falkirk game, I think I listened to Danny Rowe. He was speaking about chances they created up at Tannadice, whereas at the weekend at Ibrox, it was very few and far between. Having said that, good result at the weekend at Rugby Park.
Yeah, but well, chance creation's definitely gone up, hasn't it?
Never, at the moment, they've not shown enough consistency or form to write off, as you say, those two games at home before the other two games. But listen, they are in it. I mean, they're 6 points behind Celtic, 9 behind Hearts, but they need to find consistency.
And thank you very much to Paul. Speaking of Rangers, we will go to Andrew McLean next and get the very latest from Rangers over there in Hungary.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Ross McCormick are here. Plenty of time to give them a call, whether it is about the European games tomorrow or something entirely different. We'd be happy to hear your thoughts on anything else that is out there. I feel like every single night between now and the summer you're allowed to come on and talk to us about your World Cup plans. Don't think we've forgotten. It was only Friday we made the draw. Simon Donnelly's getting nervous because soon he won't have that record that nobody knew about. The youngest player.
I was trying to explain it to my kids at the weekend
and they weren't grasping it.
They weren't grasping it.
You're still, this is the easiest way of putting it, you are still the youngest person on earth, the youngest male on earth to go to the World Cup with Scotland. There you go, that's it, in a nutshell. Ross is trying to get his head round it now.
Yeah, what age were you?
I was 20, no, it doesn't matter what age he was.
24.
So all that matters that he was the youngest in that squad, and we've not been since. Do you fancy Miami? Brazil?
I was just talking to him about it. The kickoff times here is...
That's what I mean, need to get yourself over there.
Yeah, I need to try better, and work something out.
It's a better time. Anyway, right, keep the calls coming in. Let's cross live to our reporter Andrew McLean in Hungary.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European football coverage with The Drake Neighbourhood Gastropub. Watch live sport in the west end of Glasgow.
Okay, Andrew, what's the latest?
Yeah, hello from Budapest. I am at the Groupama Arena. If you're on the live stream, you'll be able to maybe see in the background. They've not really turned the lights on for me, but I promise you I am here if you can't see the stadium. In the background, just finished up speaking to Danny Rule, who's been doing his pre-match media duties alongside Max Ahrens, ahead of what is a massive game for Rangers. All three of the upcoming matches in the Europa League are massive because Rangers, if they stand any chance of progressing in this competition, need to win all three games. Not going to be an easy task here either tomorrow night because Ferencvaros have been going really well in this competition. They've not lost a game so far, unbeaten. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough, tough task. But Danny Rule pointing out that he feels Rangers are moving in the right direction, not just domestically, but in Europe as well. He pointed out the fact that in his first game in Europe, it was a 3-0 defeat to Brann. Then it was 2-0 in the next game. It was a draw in the last game. So he was sort of joking, almost saying that, you know, if it keeps on trending in that direction, then maybe he'll get his first win here tomorrow night. But he had a few pieces of news to bring us from his press conference today. The first of those is about a player who wouldn't have been able to play tomorrow night anyway because Nedim Barami not in the European squad, but his injury, as Danny Rowe told us after the game against Kilmarnock at the weekend, he said he didn't think it was too bad, but he's now said he thinks it's actually worse than first feared. It's another muscle injury. There's quite a lot of those going on at Rangers at the moment. He didn't give us a timescale on that yet. Doesn't sound good for Nedim Barami, though, so we'll wait and see what the diagnosis on that is. Some other news as well. He confirmed the reports that Rangers have sort of made a move to try and keep John Souter and extend his contract. He said that that's nothing to do with him. He's the head coach. He just, you know, is concerned with his performances on the pitch, but sort of talked about him as a core member of the squad since he came in. And another bit of news as well, he confirmed that Dujon Sterling will definitely 100% play some minutes. He'll make his injury return tomorrow. He wouldn't tell us exactly whether that will be from the start or from the bench, but he said it will be like a new signing because obviously he's not been able to work with Dujon Sterling. So he's seen him around the training ground. He says he is a special personality and he's looking forward to being able to use him out on the pitch tomorrow night.
Rangers fans, a couple of things to get involved with there. Nedim Barami's injury, John Souter, new contract talks underway according to Danny Rule. It feels, Ross, like that. See the Nedim Barami issue there. Just a small example of where Rangers are at and where they've been. The sort of roller coaster of emotions with regards how you feel about a player. Nedim Barami was miles out of it to the point where he's not in the European squad, but he's now come back and he's been playing a bit better and people wanted to see more of him, but he couldn't have played anyway because he's still not in the European squad. Oh, and to add to that, he's now injured. It feels like it's still a bit all over the place. Mikey Moore was regarded as a bad signing, written off so quickly like we always do here. Then he shows signs of promise, then he's injured, now he's come back. Bojan Miovski, is he finally turning a corner after scoring a couple of goals? Kind of going back to what we said to the previous caller, it feels like this Rangers team and the players within it need a body of work where they're consistently available, consistently performing, and then you really know where they're at.
Yeah, it's just like they can't get a break at the minute, isn't it? I think the Bairami one sort of reminds me a little bit of, remember Hadji, was it last season or 2 years ago?
Yeah,
where he was
last
out
season,
the European squad, but he was playing domestically. But yeah, like you say, these players who can make a difference at the top end of the pitch for Rangers, you'd need to try and keep them fit, because I think that since Danny Rose came in, other than maybe the last couple of games where they look as if they're creating a little bit more, his first few games for me when I was watching them, there was just a severe lack of service, chances created. So yeah, they could do with a nice little bit of luck of keeping some of these boys fit.
So you still got the vibe, Andrew, that, you know, I'm not going to say Danny Rose taking this seriously, because of course he is, but we're talking about the arithmetic here. Ferencvaros away, Ludogorets at home, Porto away. Rangers need to win them all. You think that there is a belief there that that can be done?
Well, I put that exact question to Danny Rule. What are, you know, where are his belief levels that Rangers can get through this? And that's what he said. You know, he feels Rangers are moving in the right direction. Their domestic results have definitely picked up since he came in. And he says they've got to have belief, because if they go into the games and they don't have the belief, then there's a good chance that they're not going to win them. All he can do is take his team out here tomorrow night and hope that they can get a win, set them up in the best way possible. So he says he still has belief. He says the players still have belief as well. And it was interesting, another point he touched on as well, because when he mentioned John Souter and he talked about him being a core member of the squad, he talked about him being a leader. He was then asked a question about whether he feels his Rangers team have enough leaders out on the pitch or not. And he said, you know, it's something that he'd maybe look to in January, but he said it's not as simple as just filling the team with leaders. He's not going to go out and just ask for the board to sign as many leaders as possible. He says it's great to have a core of leaders, and then that will allow maybe the younger players, the more inexperienced players, to then shine, and it will really help them. He actually went back to an example of his time at Bayern Munich, and he talked about some of the core, essentially, of a leadership group that he had there. And he mentioned the likes of Manuel Neuer, David Alaba, Robert Lewandowski, Joshua Kimmich, David, like huge, huge names. And he said that they were essentially a huge part in allowing other players to shine. And I think that's exactly the type of dynamic he would like. He maybe doesn't have it at the moment, so maybe it's not going to work over the next three games and Rangers don't get those results they need to potentially get through. But Danny Rule certainly thinking about how he can build this squad to be a success in the future, whether it's in this competition or whether it's further down the line.
Can Bojan Miovski be Rangers' answer to Robert Lewandowski? There's a question then that springs to mind, or maybe not, as the case may be. Andrew, is that, you know, is he sort of, I guess, played his way in to being the starting striker, because Rangers haven't really had one? None of them have been able to establish themselves. The whole debate and discussion around Chermiti won't go away, but, you know, Miovski's now scored a couple of goals heading into this one.
Yeah, I think there would be big questions asked by Rangers supporters if Bojan Miovski scores two at the weekend when strikers haven't been scoring, and then he's out the team for tomorrow night. So surely, I know that Rangers have a busy schedule and Danny Rule will need to rotate, but if this is a game that Rangers need to win, surely the only striker that has started scoring goals has got to be the one that's starting up front tomorrow. Maybe we got a hint from Max Ahrens, because he was asked what the Rangers need to do tomorrow night to get a result, and he said they'll need big performances from big players, and the two players he mentioned, Bojan Miovski and Mikey Moore. Maybe that is a hint that the two of them are going to start tomorrow night.
He's just giving the
team away. Yeah, he's maybe spoiled it for us. The fact that Max Ahrens was up doing press, maybe he's starting tomorrow as well. We'll wait and see. I'll be interested to see the shape as well, because Rangers have switched to that back four, but we've seen them play a back three recently as well. But yeah, I think Bojan Miovski surely has to start this game tomorrow night.
I've seen it before though now. The players who do the press don't always start the game, and they throw you a bit of a curveball. You also spoke to the Ferencvaros manager, Andrew, who's obviously a familiar name.
Yeah, really interesting one. Of course, Robbie Keane playing his trade over here as the Ferencvaros manager. He's had a successful time as a manager. He won the title last season. He won the title in Israel the season before that at Maccabi Tel Aviv. You'll remember a couple of weeks ago that Robbie Keane, you know, was linked with the vacant managerial job at Celtic. Whether those links had any substance to them or not, or whether it was people just kind of putting, you know, how sometimes two and two together, former players that are now managers, that their names get thrown into the hat. He was saying that, you know, that speculation wasn't really something that he was focusing on at all. He was asked whether you know, managing Celtic in the future would be something he'd be interested in. He said, never say never. So you don't know what's going to happen down the road. But yeah, Robbie Keane focusing on this game. He's going well with Ferencvaros. They're up near the top of the Europa League table and they've got a chance to progress in this competition officially tomorrow night. So he's got his team going really well. They've got a big backing here in the stadium and they'll feel confident going into this game that they can get a result.
Thank you very much to Andrew McLean. Of course, it'll be the kind of watch-along version for us tomorrow because it'll be an early kick-off, so you'll be able to go through the action with us on tomorrow night's show from Budapest. Thank you very much to Andrew McLean again, bringing us the inside track there. Rangers fans, plenty for you to wade in on, specifically tomorrow and what it means and how you see it going and what the team should look like. I've seen a bit of a mixed response on social media to suggestions that John Souter could be in line for a new contract. Danny Rule confirming that is the case. So I wonder how you feel about that. Do give us a call, let us know. I've done you two in. No, I've really done you in.
Oh, the teaser.
You're about 10 minutes late on your teaser. You're not getting anywhere near
you
us.
You might have struggled with that 10 minutes extra anyway.
Well, I don't have, with no offence, I don't have you down as the sort of sharpest quizzing minds of the team.
Are you going to use another?
No. I wouldn't be so insulting. I just mean on the, particularly in the teaser. Craig and Johnson says, can you name the 9 Scottish players with more than 20 Champions League appearances since 1999? So it doesn't include qualifiers. So there are 9 Scottish players with more than 20 Champions League appearances since 1999. Who are they?
Alan McGregor.
Alan McGregor is... yes, 23.
Callum McGregor.
Yep, 27.
Kieran Tierney.
Nope.
Since 1999.
Why might Craig be asking this question today? That's what I'm going to say to you.
More clues. I'm going to go with Stuart Armstrong.
No. More than 20 Champions League appearances.
No. Alright.
Some of the names on here. Again, I'll dangle it. Clearly you're not
Barry,
having a
Barry level. Ferguson.
Yes, 26. But why today? That's what I'll, sometimes worth asking.
Someone's birthday or something.
No, could anything have changed in this list maybe over the last day or two? Could someone have become the all-time Scottish record Champions League appearance holder within the last 24 hours, shall we say?
Andy Robertson.
Yes. He moved on to 63 last night.
Andy Robertson.
And surpassed somebody else. Okay, Andy's on the phones though first. How are you, Andy?
Not bad. How are you guys, all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. What are you thinking?
Just before I get my point, what a call that was last night about the blind. The guy, that was absolutely amazing, that call.
Oh, I honestly, mean, Andy.
Honestly, I was nearly greeting and I was happy and it was amazing.
It was amazing. And do you know what? It speaks volumes because so many people have mentioned it to me today, Andy, and you've added to the list, been out and about and at football clubs and doing different things. If you've not heard it, you can listen back on the podcast, watch the live stream. We'll try and get the clip put out for you hopefully some point soon. It was John Attenborough, the guy's name was. So John is registered blind and essentially goes to football games all the time, has his whole life, but has never seen one before, never seen it properly, to state the obvious. And he got given this special sort of virtual reality type headset at Fir Park at the weekend, and it allowed him to see the game, for the first time. Amazing. Spoke about how just overwhelming it was. And then also going from that to the reality then of having to take it off and go back to what life was like before. It was an amazing call. So please do check it out if you can. Thanks for bringing it up, Andy, because I meant to do it myself earlier. What are you thinking about your team at the moment then?
Well, I'm just thinking tomorrow night, I just really, really like a good performance. But I think it's about a loss this season. And I definitely don't want any more injuries. And I was actually going to say, I hope Stirling gets a bit of time, and I just heard you saying he's definitely going to get some time. So that's brilliant to hear that. Because the defence I still think the defence still looks a bit disjointed in there.
So no chance for you, Andy, that they win all three games and pull this off, no?
I'd love to say yeah, but I don't think they will. I mean, just I say the priority, I'd say priority is the league and the cup this season, honestly. I mean, I've said before, I love European nights, but I just think it's a wee bit too much for us this season. So just concentrate on the league and the cup.
Yeah, I mean, Ferencvaros and Porto, both away, difficult. Still to come.
Difficult. Ferencvaros are and form. I think they're sitting with 11 points as well, but I think it goes back to the other week. I think sitting with 1 point, yeah, it's going to be difficult obviously for Rangers to progress, but I think just, I kept saying it a couple of weeks ago, the feel good factor, going, you know, acquit yourselves well and put a decent performance, something to build and keep moving forward, because they've got big games coming up domestically.
Andy's probably onto something, Ross, about looking at those little contributing factors as well. If you can't turn this into a successful campaign from here, can you get Dejan Sterling game time? Can Bojan Milovski go and score more goals? And all these things that might benefit Rangers down the line, even if it is a European exit.
Yeah, listen, there is all them things that come into it. But for me, the most important thing you can do is get results. And whether that's a point or 3 points tomorrow, that will give them the confidence in the springboard to go into these next run of games, probably more so than it will than, you know, having a young boy play 60 minutes or whatever, who's probably not going to play for the next four or five games after that. So, no, I think it's more important for Rangers to go pretty strong tomorrow and get a positive result.
Thank you very much to Andy. What about that teaser then? Who did Andy Robertson surpass as the all-time Scottish Champions League appearance holder? If he did it last night on 63, good win for Liverpool away at Inter Milan.
Well, if you think the most decorated Scottish player, would that be along the lines, James Forrest? No,
he's in there. It's not the one I was thinking of, but he's in there. We've got a few to get, and we'll get them when we return.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
Well, do you know what's been worrying me about this car giveaway in the last few days? I don't want you to be put off by the fact that Gordon DL took it for a test drive. They've cleaned the seats. They gave it a deep clean. The upholstery's been totally scrubbed, so it's not like that ruins it in any way. There is still a brand new car here. It is worth tens of thousands of pounds. It's a JQ5 Pure, and it could be yours by simply donating £5 to Cash for Kids. All you have to do is text the word CAR to 84901. CAR to 84901. A fiver to Cash for Kids, and you might win the brand new JQ. I cannot see a downside. The lines close at 6 p.m. Saturday the 13th of December. Over 18s only. You can cancel the donation and remain entered by replying cancel within 60 minutes. Don't do that though, come on. It's not in the spirit of it all. The rules are at Clyde1.com. So get in the draw now by texting CAR to 84901. And as always, it is a massive thanks to our friends at Arnold Clark.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to give us a call, send us a tweet, do whatever you like, try and get in touch. Actually, got a wee offering for you, Ross. We're talking about Brazil, or Miami, the World Cup. Fraser sent a picture in of his RV, as they call it over there, camper van, to you and I, that they're driving up and down America. Says there's a space for you. It's space for five adults, but only one toilet and one shower, by the looks of it. He sent me the spec of the vehicle in question. No, can't be convinced.
Oh, I can be convinced, all right. Pretty easily.
Easily convinced. Yeah. Right, I'll send them your details. Send them your passport details. We'll get it arranged. Right, on the teaser, can you name the nine Scottish players with more than 20 Champions League appearances since 99? It is the kind of real, not the qualifiers essentially. So group stage onwards. Andy Robertson's now the record holder on 63, James Forrest on 30, McGregor 27, Ferguson, Barry Ferguson 26, and Alan McGregor 23.
Scott Brown.
Yep, 34.
Darren Fletcher.
Yes, that's who Andy Robertson.
Is that who he beat?
Yeah, he was in 62. Well, I think in many Man United teams. Remember, yeah, he was suspended for the final and all that sort of stuff.
So how many have we got there?
You've got two to get, two remaining. Let's hear a bit from Danny Rule. We heard from Andrew McLean. He teed it up. He told us roughly what was going on, but this is what Danny Rule had to say on his squad for tomorrow night.
A general thing for me is about the balance. You need in some positions a good group of leaders. When I look a little bit back to my time in Munich, and you have a core like Alaba, Kimmich, Müller, Lewandowski and Neuer, then this is a core, yeah. And around this core you can play with, yeah, exciting young players, but it's good in some phases of the season that you have this stability in some positions. And of course, this is also what we looking for but it's about the balance. Yeah, I'm not a coach to just ask for experience and old one. I like also to play with young, exciting players. I think if you take just Mikey Moore, this is an exciting young player. But around these young players, it's good to have players. They understand what it means. And for this, yeah, we will build up something, and I'm very positive that we find this balance. And with results and good performances, then we will be growing as a group.
I'd definitely name drop like that if I was Danny Rule as well. Chink ever says to Chermiti, look, they just do what Lewandowski did.
I think he maybe wishes he had that core.
It's not a bad set of names, that, wasn't it?
Lewandowski's leaving Barcelona at the end of the season. Maybe give him a little colic and do a year in Glasgow.
Even by the standards of this show, that's a suggestion and a half. Let's hear also that update, because I know one of the previous Rangers fans wanted to know more about Dujon Sterling. This is what he had to say.
Yeah, I think this is a good question. Normally, when you arrive, then you need really impression on the pitch. You need bigger pitches. You need game time. And I heard a lot of good things from him. I see him in the training session, and yeah, he's a special guy. I must say this. I think he's brave enough. He knows what it means, but it's also important that his body is ready. I think this is at the moment, I will not say a question mark, but after such a long injury without the game, then you know the first games are a little bit rusty. And this is important that we get him as soon as possible in a good shape, that he can go 45 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes. And I think tomorrow, yeah, he will get some minutes. I have to sleep when he gets the minutes. But of course, this is now the next step, that we have him available for the next 3 weeks or longer, hopefully longer. But hopefully then the players come back, that they have more choices.
So that is the task facing Rangers tomorrow. Right, why don't you two leave us with some dreadful, undoubtedly, predictions, because the Celtic game is a bit later, but the Rangers game will very much be underway by the time we get here. How do you see them both going? Start with Celtic first.
Take a draw.
Okay, don't sound too optimistic.
I think it's a good night for Scottish football. I fancy Rangers in Hungary. Some might say no idea why, and I fancy Celtic to get a point in Rome.
Okay, and Rangers away to Ferencvaros.
Ferencvaros, I think.
Both very quiet in your predictions here. Hurry up. Don't like silence on the radio.
He did.
Yeah, or did you give yours already?
Rangers.
Oh, sorry, I thought we'd separated them. I was distracted because Fraser's genuinely still trying to negotiate with. He says that he wants you to sleep in the bit above the driver's head.
Why is he only getting an invite?
I don't know. But, well, I think Fraser's a Motherwell fan as well, yeah, so he knows where he's. Yeah. Sort of loyal. Why, you want in on it as well?
My dad played with Motherwell.
You two could go top and tail above the driver,
easily,
could you not? No?
Easily.
There's going to be some stories this summer, that's for
I
sure.
I can imagine.
Not just with him in the back of an
what
RV.
You
but
and DL, no, so nothing.
Yep, still negotiating.
They'll have a stretch limo.
Oh my word, the thought of it. Germany was bad enough, but we go again, as they say in modern football speak. Right, let's try and round off this teaser. We have Craig and Johnston, who, by the way, sent it on the email. I always remind you every night, the whole point of the full-time teaser, you come up with a question, you email it to fulltime@clyde1.com. We try and use it on the show. Excluding qualifiers, name the 9 Scottish players with more than 20 Champions League appearances since 99. In order, Andy Robertson, Darren Fletcher, Scott Brown, James Forrest. Then you're missing one. Callum McGregor, Barry Ferguson, Alan McGregor. Then you're missing one.
I'm going to go one I said early doors I wasn't sure about. Big Mick.
Steve, yes, Mick. Yeah. He's the 9th. Well, he's level with Alan McGregor on 23.
Right, so there's one further up the table.
Yep.
Clue, please. Likes an overheader, I would say.
Your man's got it.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Scott? Is it?
I think so.
McTominay.
Scott McTominay. 27 Champions League appearances. There we go. Well done, Simon. Well done, Ross. Thank you for all your calls, your tweets, your company. Never taken for granted. Always appreciated. And we're back tomorrow. As we said, it's a bit of a watch along for the Rangers game, certainly. And then a traditional build up to the Celtic game as well. If memory serves, Gordon Dl is not is in the bath tonight. He should be fine for tomorrow, and I think it's Stephen O'Donnell he is alongside. So looking forward to that. We'll see you then. Enjoy your Wednesday.